This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
This is Real Relationship Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Real Talk is a podcast that covers everything that will help you to improve yourself and the lives of others. And just sometimes we might discuss the tea in the streets. Now, I want to introduce Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you are doing great, and thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning.
That's right, because when you start your Saturday off with us, you've started your Saturday off right.
That's right. I hope that you are doing well this morning, and I know that it's a beautiful day out there today, and I hope that, as always, you learn something new and that you were able to give back and encourage someone in your life. And I know for myself, one of the things that I really learned this week, and again, just applying to my tool belt, is about being focused. That is my theme for the month of October, is just being focused, being, you know, saying, not allowing anything to distract me. I'm going back to the basics, you know, putting my to-do list together and knocking those things out.
I know, actually doing them, right?
Right. Yes. Following through with them, because that's the key. We can put, I can always make a list, but when I can check those things off, oh, it feels so good. And my theme this week, one thing that I studied out, because I said I wanted to read the word so I can just have scriptures just to back me up. And I know I've been looking at the book of Philippians, and it's been so great, because Paul says in Philippians 2, chapter 3, 12 through 14, he talks about his life as he's preaching to the Philippians, but he talks about forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. And I think about Paul, he had to be focused, and he also had to forget sometimes about his past, because I think that so oftentimes we can get held up when we forget to forget about things that might have happened in our life, maybe mistakes or maybe our insecurities or things that we failed at, or we might have tried to start something but it didn't go right. And it's so easy to
be stuck in that pity party.
Exactly. To think about those things and be stuck, you know. But I love what Paul says. He says forget about the past, but he strains for what is ahead. And I know strain is in the NIV, and one version says press on. So when you think about strains, that's like forced labor. That's something that you have to make yourself do. And I think sometimes to stay focused in life and to go for your goals, you have to make a decision to stay focused. You have to make a decision to cut out the negativity. You have to make a decision to stop focusing on those things that come in your mind. You got to make decisions to stop focusing on people who might say things that pull you down. I mean, you got to get those thoughts out of there,
right?
Because you have to strain towards your goal. And no matter what your goal might be, it might be to be financially free, or it might be to start a church or start a business. It might be, you know what I'm saying, to be better in your relationship with your wife, or to treat other people better. No matter what it is, you have to make a decision if you want to push forward and achieve your goals in life.
I think that's just so true. I mean, because it's so hard when he says strain, press on, because that lets me understand that, you know what, when I do that, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. And sometimes, Doc, we think that things are going to be easier, right, or we want things to be easier, should I say.
Right.
And so wherever it's easy, that's what we're going to kind of hang out at.
Exactly. Because it's easy. I mean, it's comfortable.
Right.
I mean, it's no resistance. It's what you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I think to achieve, just like Paul said, to really attain a goal in life, and I know this is a spiritual basis, you know, for us winning souls and pressing toward heavenward, and I think that's the ultimate end game. But I just think on the smaller scale, like we talked about earlier, whatever it is, you have to make a decision to move forward and allow, and you can't allow that pass. And sometimes the pass, it can be past victories even, you know, because you can be stuck on, hey, I did this and my glory days, right? You know how men always talk about it. When I was 18 years old, I could run a 4.540, you know what I mean? But something you did 30 years ago, and sometimes that can stop us from really achieving our goals as well in life.
It's so true.
But you got to look forward and press on. Well, today, our Black History fact is, I'm going to lift up the Freedom Riders. I don't know if you all know who they were, but they played a pivotal point in American history when it came to civil rights.
Yes,
so
they did.
I want you to listen to this audio clip, especially with everything we got going on in America today.
Freedom rides are a dramatic moment that occurred at the peak of the civil rights era in 1961. They were a response to a law that had been passed. So in 1961, a northern group of civil rights activists called CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality, decides to test this law by calling together activists of different ages, of different races, of different educational and economic backgrounds, and of different religions to travel together, sitting side by side on interstate buses from Washington, D.C., all the way to the Deep South. Initially, the rides went very well. They would walk in as an integrated group, violating, right, the precepts of Jim Crow, and people wouldn't bother them. When they came to the Deep South, it was a different story. So their ride stalled. They encountered hostile, violent, angry mobs. The federal government sends in its officials to help them get out of there and flies them to New Orleans.
Do you feel that it's wrong to discriminate against a person solely on the basis of his race or color?
Diane Nash, who had led the Nashville sit-ins, heard about the Freedom Rides, heard about the trouble that the Freedom Riders had encountered, and she did not want the Freedom Rides to go down in the annals of history as a failure. She repeated the model of CORE, and they immediately encounter hostility again in Alabama. There is a notorious moment in Montgomery where the riders are badly beaten. Reporters who are filming the riders are badly beaten. The local African-American church has a mass meeting to call attention to this problem. Dr. King is flown in. A mob of thousands surrounds the church and threatens to set the church on fire. Dr. King phones the Attorney General, Robert Kennedy, and asks for help. And after a long series of telephone calls with the governor of Alabama, Robert Kennedy sends in the National Guard to rescue Dr. King and his congregation. This is a moment of triumph for the civil rights movement because it shows that the federal government is willing to bring its full powers in support of the civil rights movement. So already the Freedom Rides are creating the kind of social change that the riders wanted to. The riders continue during the second round all the way to Jackson, Mississippi, with some degree of police protection. In Jackson, Mississippi, they are promptly thrown in a notorious prison called Parchment, which was well known for the kind of hard labor that the prisoners had to enact. Did this discourage the Freedom Riders? No. It strengthened their resolve. They practiced nonviolence in those jails when the guards were violent toward them, and they modeled to people in jail who had not been a part of the movement. They modeled to the people in jail how serious the motivations of the movement activists were and how transformative the movement was. In the end, the Attorney General was able to change the laws and interstate travel was finally really desegregated as a result of the Freedom Rides. So the Freedom Rides are a major success for the civil rights activists in the early 1960s.
With everything going on in society today, I definitely wanted to highlight the Freedom Riders. These were brave young black and brown activists, along with allies who were Caucasian, who risked their lives in the 1960s to challenge segregation on buses and in public spaces all across the North, and also especially in the South. Their courage exposed the violence and the injustice of Jim Crow to the entire nation and to the world. By refusing to back down, they focused the federal government to enforce desegregation laws that had long been ignored. The Freedom Riders sacrificed open doors for future generations to travel, learn, and to live with greater dignity and equality. Their story reminds us that real change comes when ordinary people unite and take a bold action for justice. So at this time, I want us to give it up for all of the Freedom Riders.
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
Hey, hey, and it's time for the tea, and it's Feed the Busy Bee, and I hope you guys are having a great week so far. And here's the deal. I mean, it's just been so much going on in the news, and so I want to talk a little bit about it. So as we all know, Sean Combs this week was able to get what we call his sentence, and to see what was going on with that. And so I just want to share a little bit about that. It says a federal judge sentenced Sean Diddy Combs to 4 years and 2 months in prison Friday afternoon, telling the disgraced musical mogul that his crimes were serious, but that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that they were making an example out of Combs. Combs had been jailed in federal detention facility in Brooklyn, New York, since his arrest in September of last year, and was facing up to 10 years in prison for each of the two counts of transportation to engage in prostitution, and he was found guilty of it in July. So what do you think about that? P. Diddy has been sentenced to 4 years and 2 months.
Wow,
if I could be exact.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I mean, he's already served a year already.
Well, I don't think they came to the point where they said they were going to give him time served yet. I don't know about that.
Oh,
I know that was still up for question when I was listening to it yesterday.
But what do you think about that? I think that if you've been in there, I think that should count as time served.
I think so, but again, this judge said that they wanted to make an example, which I don't really, you know, that's some hard words for a judge in a court, but I guess I don't know. So I don't know if they're going to give him time served, but I think that that's a fair sentence, in my opinion. You know, 4 years when they could have been up to 11 years.
Right. And I think the thing about it is for the charge he had, because it's just transportation and engaging in prostitution, which, hey, is wrong. But it seemed like a lot of people who shared, they were people that, hey, I wanted this. You know what I mean? With something, it wasn't like he was taking people against their will and things of that nature.
And I think that's what a lot of people were saying, that a lot of the people who were involved were willing participants of that situation. A lot of them weren't forced. And that's what, you know, the other side is saying, that they were willing and they committed to this type of lifestyle. So,
And it was scheduled. It's like they had like certain appointments. They would show up and do these things.
Right. But I think certain things happened, because I had heard that, I guess P. Diddy and his team thought he was going to get off. They already had bookings set up in Miami for him to speak about the sentence and everything else. So I think when the prosecutors leaked that information to the judge, I think it probably added a little.
They knew what they were doing.
Exactly.
The prosecution knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. If you know, you do something, we have to pay the consequences.
Exactly.
And we do have to understand that the things we do have consequences.
That's right.
In life. I think that's why, you know, I can't speak for other people, but I know that's the problem that's wrong with children today. I think, coming from my perspective of my child, it's like you have to let your kids know that you do have consequences.
Yeah, consequences. You know,
when they do stuff. And I think that's the problem. Sometimes people, they don't have consequences.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Consequences laid out, or, you know, the kids just don't understand the consequences and what things about. So that's the thing there. We know next up too is Tyrese.
Right.
Yeah, Tyrese Gibson has went through something himself that we've heard about. And you know, it's a serious situation and we hope that everything works out with him. But it says here that let's see if I can find it. I'm sorry guys, I've been having problems with my computer. It just like goes out and then it's like it just don't come back, so we're trying to work on that. So I don't know, but I know he was booked for the incident for September 18th. I know that it was a dog, a couple dogs, I think it might have been three dogs or four dogs he had, and had went over and mauled a neighbor's dog. What? And so
did he kill him?
Yeah,
he killed the dog.
So that's been the problem. And so basically Tyrese in this situation was out of town. Tyrese Gibson, the singer, the R&B singer that we know of, you know, a lot of people know him from, you know, being in the movies and things of that nature. But that's kind of what happened. And so he got locked up for that, and he got locked up for animal cruelty. So that's like that's really serious right there.
Right.
It says the Fast and Furious franchise star dogs were accused of attacking and killing his Buckhead neighbor's dog. You know, he's been released on a $20,000 bond.
Wow.
Okay. So, you know, those two are some, you know, some kind of, you know, good news and bad news. I mean, things happen with dogs and things of that nature. And we have to make sure that, you know, as owners, that we're responsible and making sure that we're taking care of that and having perimeters in place so our dogs won't, you know, get out of our yards and mess with other dogs. And good news, we have celebrating a lifetime of love, Nate and Virginia Crawford, Nate being 101 and Virginia being 94, they celebrate 75 years of marriage.
Mm.
The Crawfords marked their Diamond Jubilee in April 2025, surrounded by 94 descendants, 5 children, 25 grandchildren, 57 great-grandchildren, and 7 great-great-grandchildren. So that is so great. So you can't beat that. So that's awesome right there. That they have had that to celebrate 75 years Doc, 75 years compared to our 30 years. That's a lot, right?
Hey, that's a whole lot of years.
That's
right
a whole lot of years. That's a whole lot of love. Yeah, that's a whole lot of love. And for them to still be living and still be here, so that's just a blessing.
All right, so.
A blessing.
Give it up for them, because that's awesome. All right.
All right, so for right now, that is the tea. So it's Feed the Busy Bee, bizzing out with the tea.
All right, well, my name is Dr. B. Pope, and it's Political Corner. I'll talk a little bit about this stuff today, but there's a lot going on in America, y'all. A lot going on. I mean, the big thing is the government shutdown. So you have both sides blaming each other for why the government is shut down. So I wanted to play this audio clip that kind of explained it a little bit, but it just kind of throw some clarity in the air.
This entire shutdown is based on a ridiculous Republican lie. Speaker Johnson and Vice President Vance have pulled this out their hat. They're saying that the undocumented will be eligible for this. A flat out lie. To weaponize the immigration issue in this critical crossroad and debate. So we're here to say to the American people, they are lying. They are the majority in the House of Representatives. They are the majority in the Senate. They're running the White House. And some would argue they may be even running the Supreme Court. They're controlling every aspect of government. This is their shutdown. Right, yeah. This is not our shutdown. This is their shutdown.
I will say, because I saw some senators speculating about this, and I saw some Republican members of Congress saying, oh, well, if we have this shutdown, it's because of AOC. Well, if that's the case, my office is open, and you are free to walk in and negotiate with me directly. Because what I'm not going to do is tolerate 4 million uninsured Americans because Donald Trump decided one day that he wants to just make sure that kids are dying because they don't have access to insurance. That's what's not going to happen. And so if those senators think that we're having a shutdown because of me, they're free to enter my office and negotiate, because what we're not going to do is allow all of millions of people in this country to not be able to afford their insulin and their chemotherapy. So come strike a deal with me if that's what they really think is going on.
Well, those are just a couple comments from, you know, people in office about the government shutdown. Now, I think this is the third or fourth day. You know, I mean, you don't include the weekend, but the government is shut down. And I like what that one brother said, that one representative. He talked about how the Republicans are in control of both the House, Senate, and shoot, got a lot of pull on the Supreme Court, executive branch, everything. But this is their shutdown. But they're trying to blame it on the Democrats. Now, I don't know what side of the aisle you're on, but again, that doesn't make sense. And a lot of people are refusing to really sign this new bill because it's going to eliminate so many benefits for Medicaid. I believe it's almost, I think, $4 billion they want to pull out, you know, of, you know, this insurance, the Affordable Care Act. So it doesn't make any sense. And then one of the speaking points that a lot of people on the other side are talking about, that they're saying that immigrants are getting all the insurance benefits, which is a lie. I know for myself, my wife and I, because we have our own businesses, we participate in the Affordable Care Act program, and they ask you about your Social Security number. They ask you history about your life. And if you are an illegal immigrant, if you do not, or if you're in this country illegally, you will not have a full Social Security number. And I just wanted to throw that out there. But that's just some of the things that's been going on. And I don't know your opinion about it, but that's just some of the things over in the Political Corner. And also, a lot of the farmers are really upset because, man, they're getting hit hard, which in turn will hit us at the grocery store. I mean, it's just a chain reaction. And I have a little audio clip about what's going on with the farmers and how they think that Trump can tell China who to sell, who to buy from, which I don't understand that, but here we go.
President Trump says he's going to confront China over their refusal to buy our soybeans. Kelly Saberi is at a soybean farm in Illinois. Okay, Kelly, why won't China buy our beans?
Well, Stu, this is direct retaliation for the trade war between our two countries. China knows that American farmers are now losing their biggest customer. I mean, take a look at this. We know that China buys, from government data alone, more than half of all U.S. soybean exports last year, with $12 billion worth of soybeans sold to them. Now, according to the American Soybean Association, we know that China in the last 5 years has bought more soybeans than any other country combined. Now, 95% of their soybean purchases come from South America. We're here at a soybean farm with Chris Gould, who told me that this situation is absolutely dire. Take a listen to this.
Our entire cost structure has gone here, but our revenue has done this. So this is where we find ourselves for the last 2-3 years, kind of. And it's quite challenging. I mean, it's a bloodbath, or becoming one.
And on top of all of that, these farmers are dealing with extremely high input costs. So the message comes at an important time. On top of that, last week, President Trump said he'd like to give the revenue from tariffs to farmers. We have not seen a concrete plan for that yet, but farmers like Chris Gould are waiting to find out more. Stu, back to you.
All right, Kelly, thanks so much indeed.
Well, that is my clip from the farmers, because a lot of farmers are upset. I mean, they're getting hit hard. And what ended up happening, because of this trade war, China invested millions of dollars in South America. So now, guess where they're buying their agricultural from? Where they're buying their soybeans from? They're buying it from South America. So what these farmers are saying, that's not fair. But this is a trade war. I mean, because of these tariffs, China can do what they want to do. If they want to buy from another country, they can do that. And then one statistic shows that the American farmers, you know, the amount of soybean that they sold in America does not even touch what China was buying. So a lot of these farmers are getting hit. So I hope that there's some kind of relief, because I've been to the grocery store, man, and things are getting higher.
Yeah, they're getting higher.
Feed the Busy Bee wanted some orange juice the other day, and I said, man, it was $7.50, you know, for a regular thing of orange juice. And I was like, say what? And I said, we need to drink some Sunny D. And that was what she suggested. And it was just as good. So, and also, layoffs since January. Let me tell you, 892,000 layoffs since January. I mean, since middle of January.
So, question then, Dr. B, do you think we're in a recession?
I don't think we're in a recession. We have to talk to our landlord, our office landlord, about that. You know, he's the man. But I don't think that we're in a recession. I think that we're adjusting, because a recession is almost like a lot of people, including the rich, are getting hit. And see, I don't think the rich are getting hit. The rich are getting tax breaks.
Mm.
Now, it might be a reception for some of the middle class, and, you know,
right.
Well, if you're on a poverty level, you know, because especially if these benefits get taken away from insurance, because now they're saying that if this passes, premiums can go up about 70%. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a whole lot.
And then certain programs, like people were getting chemotherapy with Medicaid, all of those things, even dialysis, it might be taken away.
And that's they've already taken away their trips. We know that from
right.
My business. A lot of people get, you know, trips to go to the doctor, to go to dialysis, and they cut those. So
right.
So they give you a certain number. So it's sad.
So it's a lot going on. But again, we know that our God is in control.
That's right.
I mean, we just got to stay faithful and weather the storm. But I hope that the African-American, black and brown people are uniting, and I hope that people vote. I know midterms elections are coming up in certain states. People need to get out there and vote. And one of the things that is funny to me, because some of the quote pro Trump people now are actually trying to win their constituents back. You know, I think about Taylor Greene. She talking about, I want the Epstein. We can't take Medicaid away. Now, she's been a Trumper forever, but she understands that, hey, her constituents or upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at town halls across the United States, and a lot of these people were upset at their representatives over what's going on in America today. So that's Dr. B's Political Corner, and I hope that you enjoy. So we're going to have a great show today, and today's show is we're going to be talking about Real Talk Mailbag, your questions, our answers, because we receive a lot of emails from our listeners. So today we're just going to go into detail, answer some questions from our point of view, and then call it a day. And my name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And this is Real Talk.
It has to be something bigger than them.
Yeah!
So I do what he say. Kingdom sick of moving like I'm Peter. This ain't Simon Says, but I follow Yahweh. God, he called, I answered like Betty. He never flopped, delivered like his belly. Try me, keep my cool like it's a Yeti. Praise party, toss up the confetti. Through my opticals, I'm seeing many obstacles. Okay, odds not probable, but God gon' make it possible. Always. Let me get an amen. Been like Esther, defeated Haman. We'll be God.
Okay, who says? Gon' tell the world my God don't play.
Now like Dua Lipa.
Ah, the smell of grace. God still saving people, huh? God got baby fever, huh? He's still adopting orphans, huh? On the first Sunday, Tracy Morgan, huh? Arms be stretched out like an accordion. Dark outside, hey, joy coming in the morning, hey, huh?
They thought I was done. Christ had a high resolution like IMAX. Overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony for more context.
There's only one guy, UNO.
You believe you got what?
UFO.
Here's a pop quiz if you ain't know who fight my battles like UFC.
Relaxing like I'm in a UFO.
You shoot my shooter, I bet you we hit the intruder, the devil D.
Come on.
Till Satan a beater like he a producer. Sound like I'm playing
God, take the wheel, Tesla, Uber. The way I let him maneuver.
Calling the name of the father and the son like a junior.
Spreading his word like a rumor.
Come on.
Hey, hey, it's Feed the Busy Bee, and I'm here with Better Care For You. We treat our clients like family, and we live to care. Why call us? We take our mission to provide exceptional in-home care in familiar surroundings seriously. Our services are a companion sitter, personal care, and we also work with Alzheimer's and dementia patients. Call us today at 678-900-8397. Again, that's 678-900-8397, or check us out on the web at bettercare4you. That's bettercare4you.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or lost in life's journey? It's time to find peace and guidance at A Better Counselor Services, your trusted partner in pastoral counseling. At A Better Counselor Services, we offer a safe space for individuals and families seeking support, healing, and spiritual guidance. Our holistic approach integrates faith-based principles with professional counseling techniques, empowering you to navigate life's challenges with resilience and hope. Contact us at 404-992-8273 or visit our website at www.abettercounselor.com to learn more about our virtual and in-person services. Your journey to living your best life continues here.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit and washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. So I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, and all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song, I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I know that song is a beautiful song, and it's called Trust in God. Just like we said earlier, it's all about trusting in God, and I think that's Elevation Worship, Aware Worship, featuring Mark Garutez. And that brother can sing. I mean, he gets down. Beautiful song. Take you through a whole series of emotions. And I know the first song is by a new artist, and she's called Annika. She used to be called One Day. Just wanted to give a great song out, and she was just talking about that's God. I mean, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that happens in our life, you know, how God rose Jesus from the grave, God allowed us to be here, all of these things, and she said that's God. So great song, nice beat. I mean, I actually have that on my workout playlist now, because I heard a few days ago and I fell in love with it. Well, again, everybody, welcome to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope,
and I'm Fee, the Busy Bee,
and today we're going to be talking about questions that we have in our mailbag, and I'm excited about it because we get several emails, and sometimes we can't answer emails on the show. So this show is all about some of the emails that we receive from our listeners. So what we're gonna do, we're gonna read the emails and talk about it and just have a good time, because again, this show is all about our community. It's all about empowering our community, not just about the tea or not just about political corner, but it's about empowering our community. And hopefully that's what we get today.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So, Fee the Busy Bee, do you want to start it off with the first question that the one of the listeners sent to us?
Okay. So the first topic was communication in marriage.
Okay.
And Vanessa wrote a saying, she and her husband argue about small things that turn into big fights. She feels like the spark is gone.
Mm.
What should couples do when it feels like every conversation turns into an argument and they've lost the spark in their marriage?
Wow. Well, Vanessa, first of all, I want to let you know that you're not alone, because many couples fall into this cycle. And my thing is this, the key is to break out of that habit, because I think that Felicia and I, when we're not close, we argue a lot. I mean, just little mm-hmm. things. It's like little, like it could be something petty, like something left on the floor or dish rag is dirty. You know what I mean? Something petty, it can evolve into something big.
Right.
But I think one of the things that I would like to do, if that's your situation, you have to make sure that you talk about what's going on. I mean, I'm grateful for the email, but I hope that you communicated that with your spouse, that you said, hey, honey, let's just do a situation right now where we can have some great conversation. This is how I'm feeling. Now, as always, like we always say, when you talk about your feelings, don't put everything on him. Talk about these are things how you feel and some of the things that you could do better in a relationship. Don't blame anyone, but you want to create that space where you can have that conversation first. And then two, as you're having that conversation, don't blame each other. I mean, it's no blame game, because it's so easy when I know for myself, if I'm sharing something toward, like if I feel something towards Fee, it's easy for me to blame her because of my feelings. You know what I mean? Instead of really just going at with how I feel and just what's going on inside of myself.
Right.
So I think, you know what I'm saying, as long as you talk about yourself and as long as you talk about how you feel, I think your spouse will, you know, y'all can have some good conversation about it. And then once you have the conversation, just get some kind of plan.
Right.
You know, say get some kind of plan. I know Fee the Busy Bee and I, we talk about it on our shows. We talk about marriages. Have that time where you can communicate. And if you feel like the spark or the romance is not there, you have to be open and then say, okay, how can we get this back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like Felicia, Fee the Busy Bee shared last week, sometimes that happens in our household and we just got to figure out, okay, what can we do? You know what I'm saying? To get that bam, bam, back, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you're not alone in this situation. So thank you, Vanessa. So Fee the Busy Bee, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, and I think, sis, don't underestimate small gestures, you know what I mean? Say thank you more often. Give hugs for no reason.
Mm.
Or plan a simple, you know, date night at home.
Yeah.
You know, that sparks, you know, that you're missing and that big romance. Sometimes these little things can help in those things. feelings, and it's about feeling seen and valued.
Right.
And when the hard feelings of, you know, of you not feeling safe or appreciated, you know, that's when you come in with that real communication and you talk about those things. But then making these small gestures will really help.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he's doing smaller gestures. He's saying thank you a lot more than he would normally say.
Ooh, I love that. You mind if I interject? I like what you said, because basically don't leave it to that other person to create that spark if you're missing that spark. I like that, because I think that's easy to do. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, okay, I'm not feeling any romance, but you're not trying to set the tone for romance yourself. Right. I remember one time, Felicia and I, we were working a lot. I mean, and I remember one day I came home from work, and she had, you know, the bedroom nice with, you know, candles and flowers. And I was like, oh, what's going on? You know what I mean? So she kind of, let's say, I'm going to take the initiative to set the mood, you know, to get my husband and, you know, where his mind need to be. But instead of just waiting on him, I'm going to take the initiative myself and make that happen. Right. So I think that's so good.
And that's hard when you know which person in the relationship is not the initiator. So the person who doesn't use the initiator is really hard for them. Mm-hmm. So you have to take that in consideration too, and just give each other grace.
Right. All right. So another email that we received, and one person, Marcus, he wrote us an email. And Marcus has been single for 3 years after a tough breakup. He's scared of being hurt again, but wants to know if he's ready to love again. So he asked the question, how can someone know when they're truly ready to love again after going through a heartbreak? So Feed the Busy Bee, you want to tackle that one, or what do you think?
I mean, first of all, Marcus, I wouldn't feel any pressure to really jump back into doing, you know, just jump back in a relationship. But I think the smartest thing I think to do is just start with little small things, you know, grabbing coffee with people, really trying to build a relationship, you know, as far as like a friendship. Because I really do believe that we take friendship very lightly. I mean, friendship is huge.
Friendship is huge.
You know, because in a relationship, you love that person, but you want to be friends. You want to like them. So I think start off small with that when you want to get back into it. Really look at someone that's really trying to be your friend. Make sure that you're healed, because you don't want to take on all these issues back into a new relationship.
Right.
So I think even in your mind, you have to start building slow in your mind as far as how you look at things, your outlook, your perspective. So therefore, when you're connecting with someone, oh, she's just like this person, it's like you already kind of have that in your mind when you see that person. So just kind of work on your mindset too as well, and make sure, you know, you don't have any underlying, you know, bitterness or anything that may come in there.
Right.
And I think what we confuse healing with is we think healing is not feeling the pain or forgetting that someone ever hurt you. And that's not healing. Healing isn't forgetting the pain, but it's choosing not to let it keep you from being joyful.
That's right.
And so I think the thing I would tell Marcus would be, hey, bro, just be joyful. Let someone earn your trust and not rush into it. And that's how I would, you know,
handle it.
And know I think, if I was ready to actually engage in somebody. And most of the time, those people in your inner circle already, we always looking for the outside. Sometimes they're right there.
Right. And I think, too, you can't compare your new friend to your old friend, because I think that happens a lot, because you put everybody in the box. So if this lady hurt you, you're taking, like Feed the Busy Bee said, you're taking that hurt and that experience into the new relationship. And that's not fair for the person that you're going to be dating. So because people are different. I mean, all people aren't that way. But our mindset, when we're hurt, it can tell us that, man, all people are that way. So she's going to be just like this. And what happens is easily to put our guards up. And I think I would just add on top of that, just have fun. Like Feed the Busy Bee said, take off the pressure, you know, and just have fun. Just look for friendships. Don't be so concerned about, man, just dating right now for someone, like a serious relationship. But just have a good time and just date people, go out with people, and just enjoy people. And I think that's when you will, a deeper relationship will happen in the future.
Right. Okay. I definitely think so. So, Marcus, good luck on your journey.
That's right.
With doing that. And I think it's going to be great. It's so many women out there that want to be loved. And if you want to give some love to someone, I'm sure you'll find someone.
All right.
So the third topic is marriage and parenthood. Okay. So I got something from David. This is David and his wife just welcomed their first child. He says their marriage feels neglected because parenting takes all their energy. The question is, how can new parents balance raising a child when keeping their marriage strong? Okay, wow. Well, I'll give that to you.
You'll give that one to me. First of all, I want to say, David, parenthood is a beautiful thing,
yeah,
but it's also demanding. And like Fita Busybee said, congratulations on your new child. You know, but many couples lose each other, you know, in the process. You know, here's my advice, you know, just from the couples that I've helped over the years, including myself, make your marriage the foundation. Because even though you're going to be pulled three or four different ways, your marriage has to be the foundation. Mm-hmm. That connection that you have with your spouse, that connection that you have with your, you know, your baby mama. I mean, seriously, you got to make sure that relationship is strong, you know, and it shouldn't be an afterthought, because you can get busy doing this, taking care of this, running this way, changing this, and you can lose each other over time. But right. You got to understand that your wife, that needs to be the foundation, especially as a man, because I know we can get preoccupied with so many different things. I mean, we come home, we might want some affection from our wife, but she's holding the baby or she's sitting down, you know, she's tired. And sometimes that can bring some dissension in the household. And I'm being honest about that. True. Been there, done that. You know what I'm saying? But you got to make sure that you connect with your spouse every single day. I would say at least 15 to 20 minutes. Make sure that you sit down without the TV, without the phones. And make sure that you communicate. And also, make sure that you're helping your spouse as well. Because when I'm helping my wife, no matter if it's with a child or around the house, it creates right. a bond. I mean, she loves that. So it creates a bond. And then, too, I'm serving her. You know, but just mm-hmm. help her in any kind of small ways. But also, make sure that you understand that she's the foundation of the relationship.
Yeah, and I guess one thing I will add to that is, you know, having someone new in the relationship, and of course, you know, you're not going to get all the attention that you used to. And mm-hmm. I think that's something that you have to really come to grips
that's
with.
That's right.
You know, I think you have to really understand that, mm-hmm. that right now the baby is the priority.
Right.
And so I think once you come in with that mindset, I think it'll help you a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as with your wife and keeping you guys' marriage, you know, above and trying to make sure you guys are still connecting, you know, when she's really tired, try to step in, mm-hmm. you know, because a lot of men are like, man, I'm not changing a diaper. You know what I mean? Or I've been working all night too. I want to get up when the baby cries.
Wow.
And all that stuff is understandable. So you have to kind of be able to give each other grace and understand, you know, what's needed. If you have a husband and he's a driver, he don't need to be up at night with the baby. He's mm-hmm. just dead. You know, if you're working, you know, if you got something going on, then maybe you guys need to try to figure out getting a nanny at night.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Or switching it up. If he has to get up early anyway, you know, to get ready to go to work, then maybe he can get up an extra hour early and he can help her with whatever needs to be done that morning, and you can sleep a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
It's ways to try to figure it out.
It's that communication piece. So, you got to work together with it.
And understand teamwork makes the dream work.
That's right.
You know, it's not a scorekeeper. It's not about, oh, I did this and you didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Well, I did five things a day. I changed five diapers. You only changed one. I mean, you warmed up a bottle once this week and I've been warming them up five times a day.
It's
easy
to get that way.
Yeah, but it's not a scorekeeping. It's not you guys are working together as a team.
Right.
And don't forget that. And I think intimacy and physical things you guys can do is, you know, if she's up holding the baby and stuff, you can be rubbing her back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or you can be like, babe, do you want some tea or something? Or can I get you something, you know, while you got the baby? Or she got her, everybody has their big thing of water. You know, do you need me to fill your jug? I mean, just little stuff.
Right.
That you can do. A smile, a compliment. Man, babe, I just want to encourage you. You've been doing great
exactly.
with the baby. I mean, I know it's hard, but you've been getting it done.
Right.
Or, you know, it may be that appointment, that doctor appointment. Your wife's like, I don't care. You need to call out or you need to come. You know, little stuff like that, you know, you need to make time for. holding her hand in the middle of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the baby screaming and hollering. She trying to tell you about her day and everything. And you just need to hold her hand and rub her hand and just let her talk. And she don't need for you to fix it. She just need to vent.
That's right.
So just let her talk. But I think little things like that will help a lot. Mm-hmm. And then, too, try to get some sleep, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, when you sleep deprived, you can't do nothing. You can't be nice to people. You can't be loving.
And those kids will do that to you.
You know what I mean? And them kids will drain you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, mom, when the baby sleep, you sleep. Dad, if you at home and the baby sleep, you sleep.
Right.
You know, so I think just remembering and see these little things we've heard about our parents say or what people say around us, but we really don't do it. We just, yeah. Have a bedtime for that baby. You know, well, my baby can't be have a bedtime. They got to sleep with us. No, put that baby in that bed.
Right.
You know, in that crib at a certain time. And I'm telling you, when you do it at first, it's going to be hard. They're going to be crying and all that stuff. But once you do it and it's set and you can consistently do it, that child going to get in that crib and that child going to go into bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think just thinking about things like that and holding to those things. And sometimes it's always that partner go, no, they need to lay with us. And it's like, no, they don't.
Right.
So little stuff like that, I think, will really, really help your marriage.
I think so. That's good. So we have time for maybe one more question. So,
okay. Oh, time is moving.
Right. It's already, yeah. We only got a couple more minutes. So hopefully we can knock out two real quick.
Okay.
So do you want to do the next one or?
Okay, dating and busy, and I'm a busy professional.
Okay, well, if you want to do that one, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I went to the wrong
one. No, that's just if you want to do that one, we can do it either one because we just got time
for
it.
Oh, you're just skipping through.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so let's see. Yeah, let's take this dating as a busy professional. You want to go ahead and talk about that, Burrell?
Okay, Jasmine is a 32. Okay, basically Jasmine's 32. She's a single and she has a very serious career. Okay, and she said, what advice do you have for single professionals who feel like they don't have time to date seriously because of their careers? Well, first of all, Jasmine, the balance is tough. I mean, being honest, you know, but here's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If love is a priority, you have to be intentional about setting space for it. I mean, that's
right.
Just the bottom line. You got to schedule dating on your calendar, you know, with other meetings, you know, relationships need planning too. Because I know that you're serious about making that bag. But if you do want to have a relationship with someone, you're going to have to make time and you're going to have to be intentional. You have to put it on your calendar and you're going to have to really, you know, really think about your schedule, because if you're working all the time, you can't date other people. I mean, unless they're on your job, you won't even see other people, but
that's
you got to create space for that. You know what I'm saying? And then they got to make sure that you create space or, you know, and you got to be intentional about it. So make sure that if you're dating people, you know, they're kind of aligned with your values. I wouldn't just waste my time dating somebody you don't even have no interest in just because you want to go out. But really just being, I guess, intentional about who you're dating. I think that's the big thing.
Yeah. And I think, too, what we have to do is, you know how we do. We map out our career and think about where our career needs to be. We don't really map out our lives. And what I mean by that is, you know, I want a family. So what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we have a biological clock, Jasmine. Mm-hmm. And so you need to think about that. Do I want children? Because I see so many people now that are 45 and they're like crying. You know, they're depressed. They're lonely because now they want a man. Now they want a family.
Mm.
So you got to figure out, is that going to be you? And I'm not trying to be smart or anything like that. Please don't take offense to what I'm saying. I'm just saying you need to take a real good look at where you want your life to be at a certain time. And here's the deal. You can have these plans, you know, and may not even conceive. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that, too. So you got to really map out where you want to be. Do you want to be in a marriage?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or do you want to just be married to your career?
Mm-hmm.
And I think once you really take a look at that and look down the line of where you want to be, and you really are like, man, I'm cool with whatever happens. I'm going to do my job. When you know that job can let you go at any time.
Yeah.
You know, you want to really look at life.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by life is about love and family and, you know what I'm saying? Someone that you can confide in, someone that you can trust, like that, it composes of all that. So I would just take that in consideration.
Well, we've come to an end of another show. So Feed the Busy Bee, these are some heavy and powerful questions.
Fear of commitment was a good one.
What we're
going
to probably do next week is have a part two of this with some of the other questions. I think these are some really good questions from our listeners. Hopefully that's okay with everybody. But because of our time, we have to go ahead and close out this section today.
Wow, it was quick.
It was quick. So our quote of the day is by Robin S. Sharma. She says, what you focus on grows. Say what you focus on grows. What you think about expands, and what you do dwell upon determines your destiny. So I love this quote. I love this quote right here. So, like I said, we've come to an end of another show. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And this is Real Talk, and we are busy out.
Thank you for listening to Real Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Be sure to follow Dr. B. Pope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And follow Fee, the Busy Bee, on TikTok and Instagram.